House Committee on Judiciary, full committee hearing, April 5th, 1991, hearing room 357.
Call the House Judiciary Committee to order. On our agenda today, our work sessions on House Bill 3189, 2650, 2415, 3105, Senate Bill 61, House Bill 2996, House Bill 3051, House Bill 3055, House Bill 2993, 2577, 2932, and a work session on House Bill 3167. With that, Council, we will open the work session on House Bill 3189.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3189 is the Consumer Protection Act for the Victims Compensation Fund. The Department of Justice administers a fund which pays victims' expenses incurred as a result of a crime if there is no other insurance or other economic provision for those expenses. What House Bill 3189 does is prohibit debt collection activity during that period of time when claims are pending with the Crime Victims Fund. There can be some number of months between the time a claim is submitted and the time it gets paid, and there was testimony that individuals, particularly those that have incurred medical expenses, are oftentimes pursued to pay those funds while their claim is pending, and this would prohibit that.
Thank you, Council. Is there a discussion on House Bill 3189, a motion perhaps? Judge Parks, is that your idea there, Representative Mannix?
We have dash one amendments.
Correct.
You meant to move the dash one amendments to, thank you. Judge Parks moves the amendments, the dash one amendments to House Bill 3189. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill as amended? Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3189 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll. House Bill 3189.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson? Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Mosseri? Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3189 is passed to the floor. Representative Novick? Is this the bill that...
Yes.
We're just about to close the work session. Haven't dropped the gavel yet, as a matter of fact, on House Bill 3189.
Thank you.
Representative Bauman, would you care to vote?
Aye.
Do you want to know about the gut and stuff amendments or not? No, that's fine. All right. Bauman votes aye. Yes, Representative Edmondson on 3189 votes aye.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, you have to tell me about those amendments.
No, it's okay. Close the work session, House Bill 3189. Open a work session, House Bill 2650. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2650 absolves people from liability for injuries caused by their horses except for cases of gross negligence and intentional misconduct. The principal issue discussed by the subcommittee was whether the bill should limit liability to spectators as well as riders. Subcommittee concluded that the gross negligence standard was sufficient protection for those circumstances in which spectators are likely to be injured, such as when a skittish horse is put on parade.
Thank you, Council. Yes, Representative Bauman.
For Council, since I'm not in this committee, but my bill file is full of letters on this bill, what would be the status of a hiker who stepped aside on a trail while a group of people on horseback went by and was kicked or pushed off the trail?
May I answer that?
Representative Mannix.
Well, Council was pausing, and the only reason I'd like to is because we were
only
heavily involved
the end
in
of the question. He's always ready to answer, but you go ahead.
We talked about this at length in subcommittee. Participant includes a spectator. Spectator means somebody who is there at an event to be at least viewing the event. It doesn't mean some innocent bystander or someone who happens to come upon a scene. I mentioned, for example, someone who goes to watch the Rose Parade standing there at the side as a spectator, somebody who happens to be shopping along that street and a horse bolts and they're knocked over, that person was not a spectator. That's the kind of distinctions we made during the committee discussion.
So, Mr. Chair, just so I'm clear,
Representative Bauman.
And I'll ask counsel to jump in if this is accurate. The person on the trail is protected, but the child observer at the Rose Festival Parade is not.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bauman, the child at the Rose Parade is protected to the extent that that person could still sue if there was gross negligence or intentional misconduct, but not for simple negligence.
Further questions?
Let me make sure I want to make a comment here.
Representative Bond.
I understand that gross negligence here is going to incur, and other members would please confirm this or as my recollection. We're going to have horses that are going to have known behavior patterns. And if someone takes a horse into a parade that is known to be skittish, you understand, to the point where they've either done it in the past and bolted and caused trouble, we're not giving them carte blanche here. That would be gross negligence. It's like the dog bite rule. One free bite. If you know that this horse will bolt, and it's prancy, and you take an active horse out there and it has a history of bolting, then that's negligence, gross negligence, and that was part of the discussion in the committee. So, the upside for these folks is that we want the horses well-trained, but you just simply speaking, you can't always control what an animal is going to do. It has an independent spirit. A firecracker might come down. Who knows what might cause it to all of a sudden act differently than it has at any other time in the parade in the past. Now, there is a trade-off here because the presentation made by the folks was that we're in danger because of the uncertain nature of the critters we operate. They occasionally do things strange and cause injury to people. We're in danger of not being able to provide training or provide horses and to do the things we need to do if we continue to be sued for things we can't control. And the downside, of course, is there may be an incident when someone has a first-time event and the horse does a first-time thing and some kid might get hurt. But I think we laid a legislative intent to make sure that the purpose of this is not to put those kind of dangerous horses out there in the public and give them any kind of immunity.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Johnson?
I believe the question is, what is the status of a person who's on a trail and horses by and he gets kicked? The direct answer is he's in pain. But the better answer is that he's got a renewed education to get a little farther off the trail. And I only say that, I'm not trying to be facetious with that. I am trying to point out that part of the direction this bill's designed to go is to re-inject a little common sense back into our society and to recognize that horses sometimes do kick, and that if you aren't familiar with the horse and know that he's not a kicker and you're on the trail and a horse walks by, you maybe should take that one more step off the trail so that he can't stick his leg out at you.
Thank you,
Rep.
Sorry, go ahead.
So it's designed to, I just want to make sure the legislative intent here is clear. It's designed to accept in situations where the horse is known to be prone to do something aggressive toward people. It's designed to let people stay out of the way of horses.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Did you also move the -1 amendments?
If I didn't before, I will again.
Thank you. Representative Johnson moves the amendments to House Bill 2650, the -1 amendments. Is there a discussion? Objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill as amended? Representative Mannix?
I move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2650 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark? Representative Edmondson? Aye. Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2650 is passed to the floor. Representative Johnson? Would you carry this bill, please?
I'd be delighted.
Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 2650. Thank the witnesses for their attendance here again today. Open a work session. House Bill 2415. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2415 comes to the Judiciary Committee from the Governor's Task Force on Sex Offenses Against Children. It creates a new crime of unlawful sexual penetration and creates within the Oregon Criminal Code a crime which basically is gender-neutral, object-neutral penetration. If you look at the staff measure summary, I've done a chart that compares rape one, sodomy one, and unlawful penetration. The committee will note that the elements are the same and that the penalties are the same. The position of the task force being is that that sexual penetration was serious, should be treated equally seriously, irregardless of what was used to do the penetration.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash One amendments to House Bill 2415.
Representative Mannix moves the Dash One amendments, the technical amendments to House Bill 2415. Is there discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill as amended,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Mannix?
I move the bill to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2415 as amended to the floor. Will they do pass the recommendation? Further discussion? Hearing none. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2415 is passed to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bryan?
Was that directly to the floor versus waiving me?
I sent it to the floor.
Okay, thank you.
Motion was to the floor. Is that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, on the back page of your staff measure summary for today is a copy of the fiscal impact.
Indeterminate is the
that's
key word.
Indeterminate, and they did indicate there would be prosecutions and indigent defense and other things. I just wasn't sure. Satisfactory to me if it goes to the floor, however.
Thank you, Representative Bryan. Representative Clark was shown as the carrier. He's
correct.
All right, close the work session, House Bill 2415. Open a work session, House Bill 3105. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3105, as amended by the Dash 1 amendments, tolls the statute of limitations on criminal offenses when the victim is incapacitated and cannot speak to the issues of the crime. There have been occasions where victims have come out of comas and been able to correctly identify the perpetrator, and the statute of limitations had run. This would allow those prosecutions to be brought.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 1 amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3105. Is there a discussion of the amendments? Representative Johnson.
I just want to make sure I understand here. We've got a situation where someone could be, you're not necessarily talking about a victim that's been put in a coma by the act of the defendant.
That's a possibility.
That's right. It's possible.
In that case, so you're talking about taking the word of a person who's been laying around unconscious for 4 to 6 years or whatever the statute of limitations happens to be, and then he wakes up and says, this person did it to me? That sounds a little bit less unreliable.
That could be. Representative Mannix.
This has nothing to do with the admissibility of any statements. It has nothing to do with any evidence. It simply says that when the victim of a crime is incapacitated, that you toll the statute of limitations until they become capacitated. And there are several cases we heard about from Portland where victims have been in a coma or catatonic until after the statute of limitations has passed. There was a case recently in Florida where a person had been assaulted and put into a coma. 8 years later, he came out of the coma. The first thing he said, and he was 18 at the time, at the age of 26, he comes out of the coma. First thing he says is, Mama, his mother was there. Second thing he says is, so-and-so and so-and-so did this to me. Now, we're not saying that that statement is admissible in evidence. We are saying that until he came out of that coma, for those 8 years, that statute of limitations would not have applied. If this had happened in Oregon under current law, the police would have said, well, we're sorry. The statute of limitations has expired. We can't bring charges. So it doesn't have anything to do with evidence, only with the tolling of the statute of limitations.
Further discussion? Is there objection to the amendments?
No.
Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill is amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
To the floor, do pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3105 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bellman.
Yes.
Aye. Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Parks.
Aye.
Representative Cinceri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. House Bill 3105 is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, carry the bill, please. Thank you. Close work session. House Bill 3105. Open a work session on Representative Clark.
Before you do that, I wonder if I could ask the committee for unanimous consent to cast votes on House Bill 3189, 2650, and 2415.
Is there objection to the motion to allow Representative Clark to cast his vote on House Bills 3189, 2650, 2415? Hearing no objection. Representative Clark, how do you vote on?
Yes, yes, and yes.
It's good in light of the fact you're carrying the last one of those.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to carry that one.
Thank you. Open the work session. Senate Bill 61. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 61 amends Oregon law relating to the confidentiality of data of healthcare provider review organizations. The amendment is intended to update language in ORS 41.065 in order that the language comport with current federal law. The bill, as originally passed by the Senate, didn't use the correct language. The Dash 1 amendments that you have before you do so at this point.
Thank you, Council. Is there a discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
Move the Dash 1 amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 61. Is there a discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill as amended? Representative Mannix.
I move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 61 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll. Senate Bill 61.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell? No.
This is the bill.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Yeah.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Representative Bell? File notice of reconsideration, or what are you up to?
I would just like to change my vote to aye, please.
I ask the committee will agree to that. All right, Representative Bell changed her vote to aye. Senate Bill 61 is passed to the floor. Representative Bell, being the most recent convert on this bill, would you carry it, please, on the floor? Appreciate that. Close the work session on Senate Bill 61. Open the work session, House Bill 2996.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2996 modifies Oregon law relating to independent adoption proceedings and does two things. It allows the attorney representing the adoptive parents to file the pre-placement or post-placement report, which was prepared by Children's Services or a licensed adoption agency, generally in the guardianship proceeding that precedes the adoption. The second thing that the bill does is requires that if an attorney is giving an explanation of the certificate of waiver, the certificate of irrevocability and waiver to the birth mother, that the petitioner's or the adoptive parent's attorney not do it, and eliminating the possibility of a conflict of interest.
Thank you, counsel. Is there a discussion on House Bill 2996? There's some amendments to be moved, I believe.
That's correct.
Representative Edmondson? Did you move the dash ones, Representative Edmondson?
I guess I did.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson moves the amendments, the dash one amendments, House Bill 2996. Is there a discussion on the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill as amended? Representative Clark moves House Bill 2996 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
I just have a question. The carrier, whoever that's going to be, says here it's going to be Representative Clark. So this pre-adoption report, is that one that analyzes the fitness of the parents? And now we're saying that parents can just go hire an attorney and and have him file some rubber stamp deal that says they're great people?
No. It's a no. What happens is it allows the attorney to file a report that was prepared by the agency. What happens is right now the waiver does not become effective until the last of a variety of things happens. Typically, the one that takes the longest is to get the report done by the agency and get it filed. And it's just a workload issue for the agencies. What this provides is that the attorney can basically speed up the process by going and getting the report from the agency and coming in and filing it. It's an attempt to speed up the process for under which the certificate of, the waiver takes effect.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, you'll note that the Dash 1 amendment speaks specifically to that issue to make it very clear that the report that the attorney is filing is, in fact, one that was prepared by CSD or a licensed adoption agency and not an attorney who has crafted their own report.
I think it can be characterized as a procedural change rather than a substantive change.
Further questions?
Thank you.
Motion was made on the bill as amended to the floor. Do pass. No further discussion. The clerk will call the roll. House Bill 2996 as amended.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Manick?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2996 passed the floor. Representative Clark? Carry this bill, please. Thank you very much. Close the work session. House Bill 2996. Open a work session. House Bill 3051. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3051 came to the Judiciary Committee from the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic Violence. What it does is prohibit the use of a civil compromise in misdemeanor cases involving domestic violence. There are Dash 1 amendments which have already been adopted and which limit or specify which crimes would be subject to the prohibition. The policy issue addressed here is that civil compromise as a mechanism was designed to deal with restitution primarily, and domestic violence cases are not amenable to that kind of resolution.
Thank you, Council. Discussion on House Bill 3051. There are some dash ones.
Have they been adopted?
They have not been.
They have been.
They have been. Thank you.
Mr.
Chair. Is there a motion on the bill? Representative Mannix.
3051 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3051 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll. House Bill 3051.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri? Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3051 is passed to the floor. Representative Bauman, carry that bill, please.
Chair.
Thank you very much. Close the work session. House Bill 3051. Open the work session. House Bill 3055. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3055 also came at the request of the Oregon Coalition of Domestic Violence and is a very technical change. Under the Family Abuse Prevention Act, petitions for requests for restraining orders have to be notarized. However, motions to withdraw this restraining order can be filed under an oath or affirmation and do not have to be notarized. There have been limited situations where someone has claimed a false identity and gotten a withdrawal of a restraining order. When the attorney representing that person contacted the state court administrator's office to request a change in the form because they are prepared by the state court administrator's office, the answer was it will take an act of the legislature to change it. And so that's what this bill does.
Thank you, Council. Discussion on House Bill 3055.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll. House Bill 3055.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3055 is passed to the floor. Representative Bell, please carry that bill. Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 3055. Representative Schroeder, are you here on a particular bill? It is gone in a form that you will appreciate.
Rode off into the sunset.
Thank you. Open work session, House Bill 2993. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2993, as amended by the Dash 1 amendments, changes Oregon law pertaining to reporting of statistical crime statistics to the Executive Department, and will require them as of July 1, 1993, to maintain statistics on crimes and other incidences arising out of domestic disturbances, and to put together annual reports as they do on other types of crimes. The law enforcement data system within the Executive Department is in the process of upgrading their system. This will become effective when the new system is online, which should be July 1st, 1993. If it looks like that date will not be met, then they can return to the legislature the next session and modify the implementation date.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 1 amendments, which eliminate any fiscal impact.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Glad you did that. Is there a discussion of the Dash 1 amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill as amended, Representative Mannix?
Move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves. House Bill 2993 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cesari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2993 is passed to the floor. Judge Parks?
Thank you.
Please carry this bill. Thank you very much. Closed work session, House Bill 2993. Open work session, House Bill 2577. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2577 would establish that all regulations concerning firearms would be enacted on a statewide basis, with the exception of the regulation or prohibition of discharging firearms within local boundaries. There are Dash 1 amendments. This arose subsequent to the passage of House Bill 3470 last session and the interpretation of Section 38, the preemption section.
Thank you, Council. Discussion on House Bill 2577. Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
I would move House Bill 2577 back to the subcommittee for further work, if that comes as no surprise to the chair, and maybe even if it does.
Thank you, Representative Clark. No, does not surprise the chair. I was visited by Bulldog Brian earlier today, as you know.
Brian. Don't ask.
Is there objection to the motion to re-refer House Bill 2577?
Just a question.
Yes, Representative Mannix.
I assume we're just dealing with something that can be taken care of.
Sorry?
We're dealing with something that we can take care of.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't think there, at least Representative Mannix speaking for those who supported this measure on its way out here, the intention is certainly to fix it up in a manner that carries the same fundamental message as the original bill.
Thank you. No objection.
That's my intention. Thank you. Hearing no objection, the House Bill 2577 is referred to the Subcommittee on Criminal Law and Corrections. Close the work session, House Bill 2577. Open work session, House Bill 2932. Council. Learned.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2932 came to the committee at the request of the Arson Investigators Association, I think their name is, and makes two changes to arson statutes. One, it enhances the penalties. Three changes. One, it enhances the penalties if a firefighter obtains or receives serious physical injury if during the course of fighting the fire. Two, it would allow persons who are charged, who start fires while they are in an institution, to be charged with a felony offense, and it also creates a new crime of aggravated criminal mischief, because the way that the arson statutes are currently written, there is what the investigators perceive as an unfair bias against lower valued property. And so what this does is tend to even the playing field.
Thank you, Council. Further discussion, House Bill 2932. Representative Bauman, this is your bill.
Yeah, it sure is. And I'm looking at the report from Legislative Fiscal and also at the prison impact assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of first blush for me. I haven't seen these before. I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, if as a matter of policy it isn't a good idea, and I say this with heavy heart, but and fully realizing that consistency is the hobnob of little minds, but with being consistent, if it isn't a good idea,